Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome again to the Dr. Bat Show right here. This is our Street Smart Spirituality Hour on BBSRadio.com. We are loving doing this show. We've had a great time, great response. Want to thank each and every person out there for listening, for tuning in. And, you know, we've had such a fabulous lineup of guests. Today is by far an individual that fits right in there in the category of folks that are taking their message out into the world and are really touching the lives of thousands. I'm talking about William Constantine, and he is with us today, world-renowned psychic medium. And we're trying to talk about a lot of different things. Let me just give you a little information about William so you have a sense of who he is. He has been lecturing, he has been demonstrating, he has been reading private clients, public forums for over 10 years. And that basically is a pretty short period of time to reach the kind of acclaim that he has reached. You know, he has really been looked at and put in categories with, you know, my friend John Holland, of course, John Edward, and so many other people. And after today's show, right here with us, you're going to get a sense why. He talks about, and this is something important to me, I've done years of research about respect and what it means to respect and what you all believe it means. And William says this, it's about respect, respect of the client, the process, the grief, the pain, the healing, and the validations. I am only part of the healing process, and I'm honored to be part of such a personal journey. And William, we are so honored to have you as part of this show and part of our journey. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you know, I always read these bios, and, you know, you get a sense of what folks are doing, and you sort of look at their credentials, and you've been on Sirius Satellite, you've been on Clear Channel Broadcast, you've been on the Joyce Keller Show, you've been in the U.S., Canadian and European radio, satellite, radio stations, internet broadcasts, and here you are. And all of this, and all that you've done, and all that you are, what are some of the obstacles, what are some of the challenges that you personally, William Constantine, have had to overcome to bring you to this very moment?
You know, I think that I'd say one of the biggest obstacles that I've had is my age, being I'm only 25. So I think that has a shock value. I think when people, that's one reason why I don't have a lot of photos on my website, is because, you know, I think that because a lot of mediums wait to come out until they're much older, like John Holland, and I mean, they've had the ability pretty much for the majority of their life, but they don't come out, a lot of them, until they're like 30 or 40, you know, and here I am striking into a world where you do have these renowned people already out there. And the other thing is now psychics are becoming to be like a dime a dozen, so it's beginning to be a little bit of a challenge at what separates me from the rest of the entourage that's out there. So, but I mean, aside from that, I mean, obviously you had your struggles when, you know, you were growing up with the ability and stuff like that, like just like everybody else has. But I, you know, just take it in stride. You know, one of the main things that, like, I was trained by spirit, you know, I didn't go to a school or anything like that to learn how to enhance the ability or learn to shut it off. And to speak about the shutting the ability off, I just don't believe in it because I believe that God gave me this ability for a specific purpose and it wasn't to be shut off or, you know, tuned out because, you know, sometimes it does get very hectic and inundating with some of the information that you get, and especially with me, I mean, I have 4 kids, so, you know, it's very difficult to, you know, go about that obstacle as well.
Mm-hmm. So, you've got a full plate, sir.
Yes.
Well, you know, I don't know, I don't know if you noticed, but, you know, if you've heard it, you've heard a beep in the phone. Let me tell you what the beep is. That means we've been on the air basically about 6 minutes, and we've already got a call.
Okay.
So one of the things that I know is that beyond your age, you know, you carry the spirit of your soul with you.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing in this world is really rocking it.
Right.
You're really bringing it to the table, and people know that, and that's why the phones are ringing already. How do you feel about taking a call at this point in the show?
Sure. No problem.
Well, let's do it. All right. Who do we have calling in?
Hi. This is Alexandra.
Hi, Alexandra. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I was wondering how my ninth grade year was going to be this year.
Your ninth grade year of school?
Yeah.
Okay, did you get that, William?
Yeah. Basically, Alexandra, what I would say is, I think it's going to be good. I'd say focus on the studies and less about male interaction, because I do feel that a relationship is either going to start or the current one, that if you're in one right now, is going to end, but it's another one's on the way. So keep your eyes out for a male presence, but don't go looking for it. But aside from that, I do think that you're going to do good. And also, I think that you need to pursue something in, like, writing and getting your thoughts out. So either start a journal or start entering, like, poetry contests or something along those lines as well. And I'm sure school will probably offer something along
mm-hmm.
those lines.
Are you doing any writing now, Alexandra?
Well, kind of.
What are you doing?
Well, I used to, I know this may sound kind of cheesy, but I used to, like, rhyme, like, make up, like, raps.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I even do that. Okay, you know what I'm saying? No, it's not, there's no cheese about it. I mean, you know, you're looking at some really amazing kind of poetry. So you're doing that right now?
Well, kind of. I used to do it, but not really anymore.
Okay. So I think, William, what you're saying is she's going to have another opportunity to put her skill, her writing skill, to good use this year.
Right, and I think that she should focus. I mean, I definitely feel that she has a lot of writing potential and a lot of talent there, so I think that she needs to focus on that, you know, because I think English is one of the things that she's good at, you know, at least rhyming and stuff like that, so, and getting her feelings out on paper, because I also think that she has a good insight onto what's going around in different situations and scenarios. So I think that her voice should be heard through her writing.
Great.
Okay.
Okay, Alexandra, thank you so much for calling in.
I actually have one more question.
Okay.
Is my sister Alicia, she's in Florida, and I was wondering if she's going to marry John.
At this present point in time, I don't know. I think that, you know, things are a little bit rocky between them. It seems like it's, like, fluctuating, kind of, like, up and down.
Yeah.
So, and also since, like, you're asking me a question, you know, that really should be, like, her answer. Like, I should really be telling, you know, her the answer.
Oh, yeah,
so,
right. Good point.
So that's the, that's the other thing is, you know, it's hard for me to channel an answer from you about your sister, not to mention there's the privacy issue.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Okay.
All right, well, good. Thank you.
Thank
you. I have your sister calling.
Okay.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Great. Wow. I think that's got to be good. That's really pretty cool. You know, William, I wanted to talk with you about, you know, your life and your world and what's going on. I mean, there are a lot of things that you're doing, and there is certainly some story behind this. One of the topic segments we were going to talk about is the afterlife, and talk about is death something to fear? That's, you know, that's part of what, you know, we put together for this show. And, you know, that's a question that has come up a lot over the ages. Do you believe this whole question of death, of life, you know, what is there after? Is there an energy? Is there really a God? You know, what are you sensing is happening in the world today with this question?
Well, I mean, I think there's definitely a shift in consciousness. I think that a lot more people are becoming aware of life after death. I think a lot more people are becoming open to the process, you know, and I think a lot more people are turning away from the church,
mm-hmm.
but are looking different avenues and different beliefs. I think you find a lot more people are going to, you know, the holistic side of things and trying to take Reiki you know, just learning a lot more about spiritual attunement and stuff like that, and trying to get psychic development going, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, different things like that. So, you know, I think that they're beginning to realize and look towards something else, as that rather than death is just kind of like the end, you know, because like I always say, death is merely just a transition from this life to, you know, to the next, so, or until the next dimension. Me personally, as a psychic medium, it's like I walk through both worlds, you know,
mm-hmm.
because I'm very open, and that's the thing, because I never really shut down any of the channels, so I'm constantly bombarded with information and seeing spirits and different things like that. And I mean, I totally understand why some psychics do shut down, but at the same time, you know, I have become like what some psychics would seem as being inundated and overabundant of information, you know, has become so normal to me. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's just the natural way that, you know, I receive things. But the messages about the other side and the afterlife, I mean, it's really phenomenal. The different things that I've learned through, you know, dealing with spirits and, I mean, and death really is a painless process. No matter how dramatic of a death you are, from what I've learned is that your body will project out of, your spirit will project out of your body. Sometimes moments prior to your death, and sometimes, you know, hours prior to your death. So if your body is in any type of physical pain, a lot of times you don't necessarily experience that while you're going through that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't remember that lady who was, she was all over the news at that one time, and they were saying that they were starving her to death, but I don't know what. She was, like, hooked up on a machine, and the machine was keeping her alive.
Right.
But I don't remember, like, her name. But that type of situation, my experience is that the spirit is already kind of out and just kind of watching everything happen. So she didn't really experience any pain. Obviously, murders and things like that are pretty much the same thing. It's like sometimes the impact of something could project the spirit out,
mm-hmm.
so you don't necessarily feel that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but it's pretty much like a painless process, unless, of course, you're dealing with something where the body is physically deteriorating slowly over a course of time.
But exactly, and that's the pain we feel in this physical world.
Right.
You know, so the pain you're referring to at this point in time is, you know, the pain that we're experiencing in this physical world. But, you know, this idea of dying and heaven and burning in hell and all of that, I think there are a lot of people that, you know, are looking at that and really exploring, you know, new possibilities. But all of that is, and for someone like you, I mean, you're with spirits all the time. I can only imagine what you're seeing around my head right now. But I heard another caller come in. William, I think you've got a fan club here. Let's see if we can take that call. Who do we have on the line?
Hi, my name is Brenda.
Hi, Brenda. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Let me introduce you to William and ask him your question.
Thank you.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi, William. I don't know if this is something that you can deal with, but it's on my mind, and Spirit led me to pick up the phone and give you a call to see what you have to say to me. I've been going through a court case that just was a complete comedy of errors, and it happened on New Year's Eve, and it's the biggest mistake. It's as if because I didn't want to go out the night that I went out, I went against my instincts and I went out anyway. And I spoke to someone recently who said everything that took place after I went out was because I went against my instincts, and what happened to me was supposed to happen to somebody, but it happened to me instead because I went out against my instincts.
Huh.
And so it's a big, giant, horrible, like Chinese water torture to have this over my head for 9 months. It keeps being postponed and postponed and postponed. And the court-appointed attorney that I had has been just very cruel and very angry and very mean, and he's supposed to defend me. He was recently, Spirit removed him from my case on a couple of weeks ago, and now I'm on my own. I have to go back to court on Friday morning, and I'm without an attorney at the 11th hour, and I'm completely innocent of the charges against me, and the police report was completely falsified in so many ways I won't even go into it, because Spirit knows what Spirit knows. And I'm just wondering if you have any insights as to what might take place on Friday morning while I stand there with my word against law enforcement, having the truth in my heart and knowing what really happened, and what are your first thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, initially my first thought is that everything happens for a reason, and I wouldn't initially say that it happened because you went against your instinct. I mean, everything happens for a reason, you know, and nothing happens to us that isn't supposed to happen.
So right, so I could be a component in something.
You know, for some reason, you're experiencing this situation. Now, as far as the outcome, I'm not really getting anything as to that. I think that it's kind of going to be a little bit of both. Like, I think law enforcement will have some leeway in the case, and then as will you. But I mean, I think just logically speaking, not even intuitively, but usually most judges will take the side of law enforcement. But
even if law enforcement destroyed evidence,
what?
Even if the law enforcement destroyed evidence that could vindicate me?
Well, prove it, you know, like, and that's because when you go into a court of law, everything has to be fact and everything has to be proven, you know, and so it's up to what, it's really up to the prosecutor to decide about whether or not the case is, you know, the case against you is strong enough in order for you to be vindicated. You'd need to be able to prove that what they're stating is false.
I can. It's just been a very hard time.
That's the thing. I mean, police tamper with evidence, sure, but I mean, it's very difficult to, I think, prove that in a court of law.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, the O.J. Simpson case.
Right.
You know, I mean, they were going on and on about the glove in that case for forever, you know. And then they decided to have him put it on, you know, and it didn't fit him. But the that's not saying that he's not guilty. But, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, a court of law is going to work the way that, you know, mainly on evidence standpoint. Because think about it. I mean, there's people in jail now that are guilty that are guilty, and then there's some that are innocent, you know, of the charge. But they weren't able to prove. I'm not saying you're going to jail, but I'm just saying.
No, it's a misdemeanor, but
right.
It's just an aggravation.
Right. I think everything will, I think it will work out for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. How does that sound to you?
To me?
Yeah.
I believe in my heart that the truth will come forward. I believe also, someone else told me that I was at the wrong place at the wrong time because I went out against my instincts. I am of William's belief system that everything happens for a reason. There aren't any accidents.
Okay.
And what I feel is that I am a component in some greater good that's about to take place, even if it's bringing spirituality into a place where there isn't much, and having that revealed to a jury. I felt like a sacrificial lamb the night it happened, and I still kind of do, and I'm being brave as much as I can, but I appreciate having an opportunity to air these feelings here with you two, and I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you. And, you know, what can we hold for you? What can we know for you to support you?
Know for me that I will be vindicated, whether it's by the police officers not showing up or by a loophole nobody thought of, or something. I actually sent letters to the district attorney, the prosecutor, and the judge today that they'll be getting before Friday that tells them everything from my standpoint, and that as a human being, I've been suffering through no fault of my own, and that mistakes happen, and bad things happen to good people, and that law enforcement can make a mistake, and that's what happened here.
All right. So, well, we will know that for you, and we'll hold the white light around you as you go on your journey and bring it in to you. There's something very powerful that my mentor taught me about 4 years ago. Would you like me to share it with you?
Please.
When walking in, William, I want to get your take on this. She shared with me, and this had to do with a very important time in my life. And I was going into a room, and I was going in front of a panel of people that were going to judge my credentials, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I knew that I had everything, just like you. I knew exactly what side of the street I was on. I knew exactly what was in my heart and in my soul. And I walked into the room, and what she told me was very effective, and I never forgot it. She said to me, the minute that you walk into the room, make sure you look at the four corners in the room. And as you look at the four corners in the room, imagine that in each corner, they're solidly filled with gold and the radiant energy of gold. And then as you walk and you participate, and she's talking to me, by the way, in the panel and whatever you do, call your favorite angel and make sure they're sitting on your shoulder. And every time you get afraid and every time you feel like you're being challenged or questioned, turn to your angel and ask your angel to hold the faith for you in that moment that you may not be able to hold for yourself. I've never forgotten that. I do it now. A lot of times I do it before I even go on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to just share that with you, and you can take with it, and whatever works with you, please feel free to use it.
That's beautiful. I do appreciate that very, very much, and I think that's partly what I called to find out from somebody.
Okay.
So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, William, we have absolutely awesome callers. You know, I've had that from day one. I've been doing the radio. You know, I'm kind of like you. I'm not like 25 years old, but but I still put my 25-year-old picture up on my website, okay? No, I'm only kidding. But, you know, for me, the story is I've been doing radio for 3 years, and in this industry, according to what people tell me, for someone like myself to be doing radio for 3 years and to achieve the success that we've achieved here with the Dr. Pat Show, you know, they asked me who I've been paying off. Basically, it isn't about that. You know, what we bring to the table, and for those of you that are just tuning in, and we also have another caller, we are part of the Dr. Pat Show. I have William Constantine here with me, and I repeated a quote from him about respect. And, you know, William, as you made that quote and you talk about respect, and as we have certainly acquired in what some people believe is a short period of time, kind of akin to your age, William, you know, the bottom line is, how have you developed respect for yourself in all of this? Because I know for us, that's what we've had to do, despite what people have said, what they projected, and all of that.
Well, I think you need to stay true to who you are and your own belief systems and kind of never waver from them. Skeptics in the industry that I'm in, skeptics challenge me on a constant basis.
I bet.
You know, so, and if I were to take in and believe everything that a skeptic was saying about me or something along those lines, then eventually I think the gift would leave me because, you know, all of a sudden I would become subject to believing those types of things, and slowly but surely I think I'd be blocking out and tuning out the ability. So, you know, I think that people need to kind of stand strong in their own, you know, belief systems and stay true to themselves and, you know, understand that, you know, you're here for a purpose and a specific path. And it's what you do in life, you know, that enables you to get to that path, you know. So, you know, I just say pretty much just stick to who you are and never let that, you know, waver. And I mean, and I've been challenged, you know, through adoption and, you know, things like that, that have things that happen during foster homes and different things like that. So, and on a constant basis, I kept looking to the ability for, because that was the only thing that I knew was true, you know, as difficult as that was to say. But, you know, because after the adoption, it became even more evident, you know, the ability manifested even more so. And, you know, and then I became such a loner in school because, you know, at the time, I couldn't keep my mouth shut with different things coming through and things like that. So, and I always found myself giving advice and romantic advice and things like that. And I was the most single person. You couldn't get any more single than me.
Uh-huh.
You know, but yeah, everybody was coming to me for like advice and different things like that. But, and you know, I pretty much was, you know, solitary. I didn't, you know, really like big crowds and things like that. And, you know, that's one of the first things, even when I get into a relationship, I make sure that the first thing they realize about me is who I am and what I do. And pretty much that there's, no matter how hard you want to try, there's really no secrets, you know, that can be kept, let alone, you know.
Yeah, I can't imagine you getting in a relationship with someone and not telling them the deal.
Right, and that's why, I kind of take it and treat it, you know, just like if somebody were to have an STD, out of respect, you would tell your partner, okay? And so that's my philosophy. Out of respect, I tell, my fiance, about the ability, and I mean, she's experienced it and stuff like that. So, you know, it tends to kind of come out on its own, but. And pretty much it's a give or take situation where I put it out on the forefront of the relationship, like day one,
mm-hmm.
and I say, you know, either take me or leave me at this point, you know, because as you get further into the relationship, you're going to realize that it's not something that I don't shut off. And, you know, going out to dinner for me is like within the first 10 minutes, I'm ready to go. You know, and that's just because when you're at a busy restaurant, if it's noisy for you, it's even like double the noise for me. So
yeah, because you're getting messages in at all different levels.
Right. Yeah.
I can't even imagine that. I mean, that has to be very challenging for you.
Yeah, and then you get the spirits that want you to read for, you know, Auntie M who's sitting at the table, and you know, or whatever. And the hardest spirits for me to turn down are spirit children, you know, like, because that for me, and I was just telling my fiance this the other day, is, you know, that's like a weakness for me, because a spirit and a spirit child, I always want to know, well, how did the child, you know, end up on the other side? And, you know, and usually I tend to try to relay those messages in some way, shape or form to the person. But there's a respect factor. So
yeah, you can't just walk up to somebody, you know, in the middle of cutting up their, you know, filet mignon and say, hey, I've got a message about your daughter.
Right, and that's the, you know, that's the toughest thing, you know, for me to, you know, to turn away from is to give the messages, you know. But, you know, and sometimes I have to say to myself and to the spirit, look, I'm not working at this present point in time, you know, because sometimes it does get so overwhelming,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, sometimes you could walk past somebody in the mall and intuitively pick up on, you know, pieces of their life, or, you know, maybe the situations that may have happened, or,
wow.
you know, bits of history or something of the
wow.
of the actual mall. So it does get inundating, and that's why, like, you know, I understand why, like, John Holland, you know, trains people to turn it off, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of ignorant, and I don't want to shut it down,
mm-hmm.
because this has become like normal for me. So if I didn't have all this chaos going on and around me, I don't think I'd be able to function. But,
well, you know, I'm going to be interested in hearing what the spirits are saying, you know, about this conversation with me. But right now, I think we still have another caller, William. I think this is great. For those of you that want more information about William Constantine, very easy, www.williamconstantine.com, www.williamconstantine.com, and check it out. He's got a lot going on. You've also got an upcoming event, don't you?
Yeah,
aren't you going to be doing a cruise?
Yeah, well, I have two upcoming cruises coming up, and I mean, I think I might have taken down the flyers on the website, but because the homepage just got to be so overwhelming.
Okay.
So I did take down the flyers, but you know, if they email, you know, Jessica or something, she can always send the flyers.
All right, we'll make sure that you all have that information. But let's go to the phones. I think we do have another caller. Who do we have on the line?
Melissa.
Hey, Melissa. Welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to William.
Hi.
Hi, Melissa. How are you?
I am good. I just had a question about, really, I'm in a new job that I absolutely adore. I can't wait to really get my hands wet. Financially, though, right now I'm kind of strained, and I was curious, do you see that getting better? And then I just had one more quick question. I had a weird experience in meditation that I wanted to ask you about.
Okay. Okay, first off, congratulations on the job. I mean, I definitely think that that's the path that you're supposed to be doing. And I do also feel as though money will be coming in within, I'd say the money problem should start to lessen probably within the next 2 or 3 months.
Okay. And then my weird experience was that I've been entering some contests that I love. I just have a feeling that I'm going to be winning. Stuff is just going to start coming to me. So I'm curious because I was shown a white truck and a vacation at the same time. And I'm just curious, was that something to come to me this year?
A white truck and a vacation?
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely think, first off, meditation opens up a wide variety of things, and I think you know, I think it's really up to the interpreter of what the actual message is, and so I think that you'd be able to interpret your meditation a lot better than, you know, I could.
Okay.
But I mean, I definitely would say that I think you're definitely going to be going on vacation or doing some type of traveling. And I don't know if it's job-related or something like that, but I definitely feel you going a bit of a distance from your house for, you know, a week or two.
Okay, great.
Great. Well, so, thank you.
Thank you.
Did we get all your questions answered?
Well, I was just curious about when I enter those contests because I feel like I'm going to be winning stuff. Do you see that happening?
What?
Do you see that happening? Do you see her winning the contest?
Yeah, I mean, I think that persistence, I think, is really the key. You know, and pretty much patience and just, you know, look back on, you know, the different people that did win the contest and why you think it is that, because I think that you're very intuitive and I think you're very easily able to kind of sense those types of things. And I think you see things that, you know, that most people don't see. And I'm not talking about spirits, but I think you see openings and positives where most people would look at a situation and see something negative.
Okay.
All right. Great. Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, William, you know, thank you so much for joining us today. I mean, this is wonderful. We've got folks calling in. You know, when you work with people and doing the work that you're doing and all of this, I mean, I think you really expressed why you do this work. I mean, this is clearly natural to you. It is a calling, and you've made a conscious decision not to turn it off. You know, but let me ask you this question. In all of the conversations that you have throughout a day, all the people you see, what is the most rewarding part of having your gift?
Well, I mean, I think the most rewarding part is their experience, you know, to know that I've some way helped them in either a grieving process or, you know, help them see things a little bit more clearly when it comes to, you know, what I'm doing tonight, more intuitive things. You know, but obviously I think, you know, when you make a connection with somebody and you, the ability enables you to help them in ways that sometimes even therapy, you know, can't even come close to touching the way that you can help, you know, a given person. You know, so I think it's really about their experience and their being satisfied with, you know, with the reading and the
mm-hmm.
information coming through and that type of thing, because it's really about them and not about, you know, me as a psychic medium. It's all about them and their process. And like I said, you know, I'm just, you know, a tool, like
mm-hmm.
a vehicle, you know, I'm an enabler, basically. You know, I enable people to move past grief or, you know, to just see things a little bit more clearly, because sometimes, you know, if you stand outside of yourself and you look at, you know, the situation, it's almost like that's what I'm kind of doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm able just to kind of tune in to the energy and pick that stuff up. But it's absolutely hands down, you know, their reaction and their, you know, and just knowing that you've helped them and they're a lot more on their path than what they were before they came to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you're known for some of the predictions that you've made. I mean, it's really clear that you've had predictions on both the Michael Jackson case, the Simpson case, and even the JonBenet Ramsey fiasco with amazing accuracy. I mean, you know, these are folks that have been out there, and you've stepped up to the plate, and you've kind of chimed in with just accuracy beyond anyone's imagination, really.
Right. Yeah. And that's the, you know, that's the thing. Oh, the downside to that is, I mean, even though I've, like, my office has sent emails to the press about it, not a lot of people have picked up on it. So it's like, you know, like I hemmed and hawed about whether or not I was even going to put that on the site, you
uh-huh.
know, because of the fact most people are going to be like, well, you know, anybody could say that they had, you know, accurate, you know, predictions. But, you know, I decided, you know, that I was going to do it anyway, because, you know, I think that it's important, you know, and like I said, because when they picked up John Akar, you know, I was like, you know, automatically, I was like, yeah, he didn't do it. But, you know, and my fiance, who doubles as my personal assistant, sent out the press release and, you know, basically of me saying that he, you know, that I felt that he was innocent. And, you know, and not that I'm saying that he's innocent of hurting other little children. I'm just saying that I didn't think that he killed.
It didn't fit for you.
Yeah. And so I, you know, sent it out just to basically send it out and nobody really picked up on the story. And then because I think a lot of people were thinking as time went on, you know, the same thing, you know, well, why all of a sudden now did he come, you know, to light, and what, you know, but a lot of people had this police conspiracy theory about, you know, that they weren't acting on the tapes that, you know, were there and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. But, you know, I think if you're deranged enough, I think you'll admit to just about, or try to take credit for just about anything.
And who knows what's going on in his head. I mean, and, you know, the public as well. I mean, the public want to have conclusions to things, whether it's the truth or not. To
right.
be able to close the door and say, okay, we're done with that, you know, it really gives some level of comfort. And I know that you run into this all the time. We do have another caller. William, are you okay taking another caller?
Sure.
Okay, great. Let's go to the phones. Who do we have with us again here tonight?
Hi, this is Jeannie Skoblik, and
hi.
I just called in to ask William. My mother and father-in-law have passed on, and I wondered if he can say how they think my husband and I are doing with our lives at this point.
Okay. All right. First off, I do feel as though they're together. But also, I feel that there's almost a concern regarding you, and I think, I don't know if it's work relationships or some type of a relationship that it almost feels like it's very frustrating and it's very chaotic around you with this particular situation. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. Because that I think it's the pending issue. And I think there's a lot of underlying things and I think that's what really concerns them. As far as you and your husband, you know, I think that, I think that they wish that the bonds and the communication was definitely open a lot more. And it seems like, you know, they wish that you guys would communicate and be kind of open, with each other, you know, and
yeah.
kind of lean on each other a little bit more than what you do. And I know you guys feel as though you guys do, you know, do that, but they just see it as, you know, not as much as it should be.
Yeah, well, we've been through a lot, so it's...
Yeah, and I think the other thing is I think you guys argue about small things, like in their eyes, like, and that's what they're, you know, pretty much saying is you know, not to worry about the small things and just kind of, you know, work past them, you know, and I think that's
yeah.
one of the, you know, the key things is not to hold on to, like, a small situation. And because as humans, we see something, like what spirit would see as being small, you know, as humans, we could see as being, like, a big deal or, you know, like, you know, I mean, as humans, we argue about everything, doing the dishes, you know, who took out the garbage, that type of thing. And,
right. Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing is like, we waste so much time arguing about things that really don't make any sense to argue about. And in the meantime, you're wasting your life arguing, you know. So
yeah.
that's one of the things that, you know, and I think that you guys have kind of, you know, come closer, it feels like, in the last year or so. But
uh-huh.
I do feel like a fluctuating up and down kind of situation around you. So I don't know if it's in your marriage or what else. Okay, and there's something about a child or something. So do you have children?
We have a daughter that just went through brain surgery. She was hit by a drunk driver 4 years ago, and that's one thing that we have some discussions or sometimes arguments about.
Okay, yeah.
And
all right, yeah,
because I've taken care of her a lot.
Yeah, and, you know, and I think that I think any time you have something like that, I think it does kind of drive, in some cases, it drives kind of a barrier between, you know, mom and dad or husband and wife because of the fact, you know, that I think one parent, nine times out of ten, one parent takes the responsibility of what happened to your daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that in that case, you know, it's harder for them to spend, it's hard as it is to say it, but it's harder for them to spend all that time around them because there's so much feeling like that they could have done something, you know, and that they could have prevented it in some way or, you
yeah.
know, they should have, you know, been there in some way or, you know, in some, or they're stuck in wishing that it was them instead of her, you know,
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
I think that that's, you know, one, and I think that in your case, that's pretty much what I think is happening, you know, is I think it's very difficult, I think, for your husband to kind of interact with her as
yes.
much as, you know, he would have before, because I think he's really hurting about the
yeah.
whole situation, and I don't think it's really, you know, ever let go of him.
Yes, yes.
You know, and I think it's eating away at him, and I think that that's what is very frustrating for him. You know, so,
yeah.
And I always would recommend counseling in a situation like that, because obviously, if he's that stuck and there's a barrier driven between the two of you, then, I mean, a marriage could crumble because of that.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that it's key to focus on what's important, and that's pretty much love, his love for her and his love for you, and all of that love needs to be open and free flowing and not. And not caught between barriers or selfishness, you know?
Yes, yes.
And that's, I think that's what's key.
Yes.
All right, great. Thank you. Did we get your questions answered?
Well, yes, I just had one other. I wondered,
sure.
Do you see my husband doing a different job? He's not happy with the one he's at.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I think that, I think he needs to start looking for a different job and looking in a career where I think he'd be doing a lot more interactions with something about with his hands, you know, being a lot more physical than I think than what he was doing, and I think he's also going to be helping people, so in some type of fashion. So I don't know.
Something
exactly
physical
what
and
is.
Something helping people?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, many blessings to you and your family and your daughter.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
God bless you, too. Thank you. Thank you, William. Thank you so much. We have the best callers, I'm telling you. I do approximately 12 hours of live radio a week, and we have the best listeners on the planet. It is absolutely amazing. I am so honored that we're able to connect with so many wonderful people. And you must feel the same way about the people that you connect with.
Yeah. You know, and it's you know, I think everybody's guided to you for a reason, you know, and people listen to your show for a reason just as much as they listen, you know, to John Holland's Spirit Connections or, you know, or even, you know, Sylvia Brown. And, you know, I think that a lot of people are becoming a lot more aware of this, and I think that Spirit is opening doorways. And, you know, and I mean, I could go on and talk about Indigo Children and
it's really amazing. You know, I went down to L.A. I was invited to an opening of the Cosmic Kids, which is something that Judy Lulin has created. And her vision is to create these learning centers all over the world that are very different than traditional learning, where young people can go in and really experience their right brain, their intuitive, their, you know, their third eye, whatever it is we want to call it, but to give them a way so that they can really feel confident in learning about the gifts that they had. I mean, what was that like for you as a young person? I mean, did you get supported in your gift, or did folks try to cut you off?
Yeah, no, I got cut off.
Yeah, I bet. I did, too.
I just don't think that a lot of people get to that point of being open. And, you know, kids are so so intuitive and so aware of things because they just came from the other side. You know, everything, like, they're so innocent, and everything is still very open to them. They're still very connected. That's why a lot of kids have imaginary friends and, you know, so on and so forth. And where people start losing the ability is when society steps in and starts teaching them, you know, that spirits aren't real, and that, you know, what I'm doing is evil in some people's minds, or it's against God. And I look at that, and I forgot who I had a discussion with, but just the other day I was talking to somebody, and they were saying that I was against God. And I said, you know, it's funny that you should say that, because I think that you couldn't be any closer to God doing what I do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I mean, Jesus Christ was essentially a medium,
mm-hmm.
you know, communicating with, you know, angels and things of that nature. So it's like, you know, and I think I think the downside to the church is that they express that only a priest can talk to God, you know, and it's, you know, and for me, I think that anybody could talk to God. Anybody could talk to, you know, Aunt Sally, who passed over, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a matter of being able to receive their answer. And it doesn't always come in the conventional sense. You know, sometimes you don't just, you know, hear the voice of God and, you know, and just know that that's what you're supposed to be doing. Or
it comes,
you know,
in other ways.
Yeah, it comes
in signs and symbols.
And I think that's why people need to become aware of, you know, the signs to look for and the different things like that to look for. And Bill and Judy Guggenheim have a book, Hello from Heaven.
Ah.
And that's like a great book for people who want to know about after death communication and different signs that are given and things like that. And in one of my workshops, you know, I purchased the book for everybody. And because I just think that is like, you know, I think it's a key book for people who are interested in this type of thing and who are searching for the connection from the other side and what signs and things like that to look for. And, you know, that book pretty much goes, you know, in detail with it. And, you know, another good book is a book by Angel Doreen Virtue.
Doreen Virtue.
Yeah, anything by her. And,
yeah.
I mean, there's a whole, like...
oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, and, you know, she has a book. I forget the name of it off the top of my head, but it tells you all the angels and what to call them, like the main ones, and, you know, who to call on them for and different things like that and how to invoke them and, you know, be aware of their presence and their guidance in your life and, you know, things like that. And, I mean, I've done workings with angels and things like that, and then somebody, you know, told me about Doreen, and I had heard about her, and, you know, and I tend not to read things in the same genre that I work.
Yeah.
You know, because being that I'm writing a book and things like that, like, I don't necessarily want any of their experiences to suddenly show up in my book, and it happens, and even, like, you know, like fictional or nonfiction authors, you know, if they've, you know, like, for example, if I was to write a fantasy book and I was reading Harry Potter, I could guarantee that some scenes are going to resemble
what
happened in Harry Potter. So,
wow, I love that. I honor that you're doing that. And, you know, someone, you know, you're going to get enough messages about the book, you know, with, all by yourself and with all of the folks that are chatting with you. Yeah. I'm sure you're going to have plenty for that book and many books to come. You know, William, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time and chatting with us and talking to our callers. And, you know, I have to tell you, I didn't even give out the phone number. Did you hear me give out the phone number at all?
No.
No. I did not even give out the phone number. So we do give out, we do send out newsletters. We do you let people know. And so, you know, apparently you've connected with a lot of people. And my belief is you'll continue to do that. And I want to thank you. I want to really thank you so much for joining the show today. I can only imagine what you've seen in my energy field as we've been talking today. And I want to thank you so much for being here and for sharing your gift with so many people.
No problem. I mean, this is what I live for. You know, it's just another day in the life of William, I guess. But, you know, and I think as far as you I definitely think that in time either syndication or something like that could happen. And, I mean, you might be getting picked up by somebody else, and so it won't just be strictly Internet-based or anything like that. So I definitely think that... And I think, you know, I think that the message, you know, and the different, I mean, because I just was on your website the other day, and because I was doing research, and I said, okay, you know, like, whose show am I going on? Like, you know, okay, what's she all about? And then, you know, then I said, oh, well, you know, you had Anna Dea Judith on, and, you know, you have John Holland on, and on a regular basis. And so, you know, and I was looking at all the different people, and then who do you have coming up? What's his name? He did Conversations with God.
He's on tomorrow. You know, I was going to say that because, you know, you talk about the church. Here's Neil Donald Walsh. And, you know, he's now got his movie, Conversations with God. So, you know, he's going to rock the world with this in the same way that you're doing.
Right, and I think that that's, you know, I think that's, you know, that's key because, I mean, here's a man who, you know, was down and out.
Oh!
And then all of a sudden started channeling messages from God, you know, and so you have to ask yourself, you know, and in that case, I mean, God has smiled on him like immensely since then, you know, so you have to ask yourself that obviously the church isn't the only communication to God. And I'm not saying that to be against anybody's particular religion, but you know, I've done readings for Catholic priests and things like that. Of course, you know, like I could never disclose who they were or, you know, anything like that because of the whole, because the church looks down upon, you know, psychic mediums. But if you look in the Bible, I mean, there's spirit communication happening in a whole bunch of different places and in different ways. And, you know, I mean, even in certain parts of the Bible, people are consulting people who prophesize, witches and people of like natural medicine. And so I think that there's a lot of unwritten things about you know, God and or even Jesus Christ, you know.
Yeah, I do know. And you know, I want to thank you for having the courage, for taking your message out into the world. And I look forward to actually meeting you in person. And funny you mentioned syndication, because it is absolutely on our list. You know, right now we're live in Seattle, Florida. We'll be in Boston, Chicago. And the other day I sat down and I set my intention to say, we want to get this message out into the world. And we're ready to be picked up by somebody that's willing to take us on a journey so that we can help people live life full out. Thank you, William Constantine. Thank you, BBSRadio.com. And thank you to all of the listeners that are tuning in every week. Make yourself a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous life. We'll see you next week right here, same time, same station.